Our first reading this morning will come from 1 Timothy. We'll be reading from chapter 1, 1 Timothy 12 through verses 12 through 17. And it is actually found on page 1034 of your Pew Bibles. So this time, let us listen to God's word for us. I thank him who has given me strength for this, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful by appointing me to his service. Though I formerly blasphemed and persecuted and insulted him, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the foremost of sinners. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience for an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Our gospel reading this morning will come from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading from the 15th chapter of Luke's Gospel, verses 1 through 10. And that is on page 908 of your Pew Bibles. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Occasionally, I receive an alert on my news feed urging me to be on the lookout for someone who is lost. Usually to someone who is quite vulnerable, sometimes a senior citizen, perhaps suffering from Alzheimer's or dementia, a person who has wandered away and the frantic family members are desperately trying to find them, sending out an SOS asking us to be on the lookout for someone who is lost. More often than not, it's a young person, a child that has gone missing. And again, a notice goes out. It's the kind of notice that I saw the other day. 16-year-old missing for 2 weeks, the notice said, "Have you seen her?" In the middle of the notice was a picture of a teenage girl with an infectious smile gleaming with teenage innocence. And I couldn't help but wonder where she might be, to pray that she was okay, wondering what her family, her loved ones must be thinking. They must be frightened to death for this one who is missing and lost. And so they desperately urge us to look out for their loved one who is lost. I often wonder just how much will be expended on searching for her. But we are called to look out for people who are lost. I suppose it's quite easy for some of us to become lost. I was watching a little film recently put out by the Christian film group Enlighten. The film was about another young woman who couldn't have been much more than 16. This young woman grew up in a loving family, but even when you know that you are loved and cared for, it can still be easy to become lost. And so this young woman's life began to drift. And one night while sitting at a bar, she met another young woman who told her that she knows how she can make a lot of money. And so with that, this beautiful young woman was introduced to a life of prostitution. She recalled how she felt the first time she sold herself. In her mind, she felt worthless. In her mind, she felt like she no longer deserved to have a normal life. In her mind, she didn't deserve real love. She just felt dirty and lost. One night between jobs, she was standing against the wall smoking a cigarette when a van pulled up full of people with Bibles, and she recalled how one lady came up to her and prayed with her and gave her a Bible and told her how much God loved her. And it was something about this lady who came up to her, didn't want anything from her but to express God's love to her and give her a Bible, and who reminded her of God's love, that God loved even her, that began to penetrate the deep darkness in which she found herself. Thank goodness there are people who are constantly on the lookout for those who are lost. Many of us in the church may be tempted to believe that lostness is the exclusive preserve of people who are out there, people who are beyond the confines of the church, people who don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They are lost, we say. But if we are honest, we ourselves have to admit that we too are sometimes lost. Those of us who are inside of the fold, those of us who are inside the household of God's people, we too often get lost. We get lost in our worries, we get lost in our disappointments, we get lost in our fears, we get lost in our grief. Indeed, as someone once said, there's no such thing as a once and for all foundness. We tend to get lost over and over again. Last Tuesday, September the 10th, was a special Tuesday, a special day. It was Suicide Prevention Day. A day, I confess, which would have totally escaped me if it were not for the untimely death of a young man by the name of Jared Wilson. Wilson was a young, influential associate pastor of Harvest Christian Fellowship Church, one of those huge mega churches in Riverside, California. He himself had suffered from depression all of his life, and he was quite transparent about it. In fact, his whole ministry was geared to reaching out to people suffering from depression. He even founded, along with his wife, a nonprofit called Anthem of Hope, whose purpose was to help people suffering from depression. But tragically, on the eve of Suicide Prevention Day, he too succumbed to depression and took his own life. Unfortunately, to our great shame, we don't talk a lot about depression and mental illness in the church. Still very much kind of a taboo subject shrouded in all kinds of misconceptions. And we're reminded that all of us get a little depressed from time to time. But for those of us who don't suffer from chronic depression, it's important to realize that it's not just about feeling sad. That's what people say sometimes to people with chronic depression. Oh, you're just sad. You just need to buck up and be happy. You just need to be reminded that you are a child of God and be happy. You're too blessed to be stressed. But depression is not just about being sad. Depression is a chemical imbalance. It's something that is going on inside of the brain, something which casts people into a deep, deep darkness. Someone described them as the Dementors in the Harry Potter films, those creatures who come and suck out all the joy and the pleasure of life and leave nothing but pain and darkness and hurt and grief. Jared Wilson himself once described depression as being in a dark, cavernous cave where there is no light. You're just wandering and wandering and wandering in darkness and lostness. You are lost. You just feel lost. And what people need in that condition is not exhortations to be happy. What is needed is empathy and understanding and community. What is needed are people who are intent on looking out for those who are lost. Jesus was someone constantly on the lookout for lost people. In fact, Jesus tells us that was the reason he came. He came to proclaim good news for people in various states of lostness. Indeed, he was often accused of being lost himself, being a sinner, because those were the kinds of people whom he attracted, the kind of people whom he was naturally attracted to, because those were the people who he came to save. Indeed, Jesus himself tells us that is what God is like. If you want to know what God is like, that God is like this. God is like a person who is constantly on the lookout for people who are lost. God is like a shepherd who will leave 99 sheep behind to go look for one sheep that is strayed. God is like a woman diligently sweeping her house, looking for one lost coin. She still has nine coins safe in her possession, nine coins she knows where they're at, nine coins that are safe, but she's lost one coin. And so she is turning the house upside down to look for that one coin. And Jesus says that God is like that. I'm not sure that God would make a good business person. I'm not even sure that that is perhaps a flattering picture of God. I only think of myself early in the morning sometimes when I've lost something, when I'm looking for my keys, I'm tearing the place up looking for my keys. I know I have them. They got to be around here somewhere. I can't leave the house without them. They're the keys to the house. They're the keys to the car. They're the keys to the church. I know those keys are somewhere. And I'm frustrated. Finally, I find them and rejoice that I've found them, and I get to the door and suddenly discover, where's my phone? I've lost my phone. Gotta find my phone. But it's not so much that God has lost us. It is that we have often lost God. We lose our way, the way that God has set out for us, the way of love, the way of life. We often insist on going our own way, and it's in going our own way that we get lost. Here's something I'm not quite sure, just take it for what it's worth, but I think sometimes that God diligently seeks people who are lost, not just because God loves us. God does indeed love us. But I think God diligently searches for the lost because God's plan, of course, is to save the entire world. And that God does God's best work through people who are lost. Have you ever noticed that in the Bible, that God does God's best work through people who are lost? God chooses a people, Israel, people who were lost in slavery, a people who get lost in the wilderness, wander around for 40 years, and yet these are the very people that God uses to be a blessing to the whole world. God chooses Moses, who was lost. Moses, after killing an Egyptian, wanders and wanders and wanders, and God finally calls Moses, this man who is lost, to be God's agent to go into Egypt. God chooses Abraham and Sarah, a couple, an aged couple who have no future, no children, they're lost, and God calls them to go on a great adventure. God calls the Apostle Paul, whom we read earlier in that passage from Timothy. Paul is lost in his own self-righteousness, lost in his own zealousness, lost in his own misunderstanding. But God chooses Paul to be the one who will bring the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ to the whole Gentile world. God chooses a young woman caught in the grips of prostitution, and he calls this woman to be the one who reaches others. God uses a young man suffering from depression, and he calls that young man to minister to others. And God can use you as well. Maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking that you're too far gone, that you're just too lost, that your life has no value, that God cannot possibly use you, that you've just messed up. But God is not only diligently seeking you, but God does God's best work through people who are lost. Something about being lost that opens your heart up to others. Something about being lost that helps you to empathize with the plight of others, that gives you compassion. It's interesting that God couldn't use the Pharisees in our gospel lesson this morning because they were too self-righteous. They simply could not be broken open enough to be used for God's purposes. And so God uses those who are lost. Several years ago, someone was telling me during a Bible study over on this passage from Luke, in the 15th chapter, where Jesus gives us this vision of God who is a searching God, a God searching for lost. But someone said that they believed that God was lost. I believe that God is lost, he said. And I asked him, what in the world do you mean? What are you talking about, God being lost? Why would you say anything like that about God being lost? And he said, well, all I know is that of late I've been going to all the places where I expect God to be, and I just don't feel that God is there. I go to church, and I just don't feel God there. I go to the prayer closet, my prayer closet, and I just don't feel that God is there. I open my Bible, and I just don't feel it anymore. I don't feel the presence of God there. And I kind of know what he meant. I think we all feel that way from time to time. But here's the deal. If God is the searching God, if God is the God who is always out there on the horizon, watching and waiting and looking, if God is the God who's never in place but constantly sweeping and sweeping and tearing the place up to find someone, if God is the God who is all over the pastor looking for one sheep, then maybe the place for us to find God most assuredly is not always in the haunts that we think God, where we think God should be, but out with the lost. Out there watching and waiting and searching for those who are lost. And so, my friends, this morning, I would just enjoin you one more time to look out for people who are lost, because there, very well, you might find God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you have reminded us that we have all fallen short of your glory. You have reminded us that you love us anyway, that you will do everything to find us. You will leave no stone unturned, no corner unswept in order to find us. Help us too, Lord, to look for others so that we can bring the grace and the love and the compassion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to bear towards the redemption of the world. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.